What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I say St. Paul Saints games because I'm going to bring in Sean Aronson here, who does a lot of things for the St. Paul Saints, including call their games and public relations and everything else. A veteran of the St. Paul Saints joins us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Sean, we were just talking about this, Tubbs. You know, how many years for you now with the Saints?
Yeah, this is number 16.
16 already?
Yeah, I know. You say veteran, I hear old, so... yeah, I've been around a while. 22nd year as a broadcaster in minor league baseball, 16th with the Saints.
Wow. Do you remember who hired you? Who interviewed you?
Well, it's funny because prior to this, I was in Fort Myers, and Marv Goldklang and Mike Vec owned that team in Fort Myers at the time.
Yep.
And so when Chris Atterbury got the job with the Twins in the opening, was there, they went to the teams that they owned, which was a handful at the time. And interviewed all the broadcasters, and I got the job, and here I am 16 years later. I never thought I'd be here 16 years, but it's been great. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
How did your life change when it became the Twins AAA affiliate?
Well, I'll say more eyes and ears are on me now. The scope of the broadcast, more people paying attention, more baseball people paying attention. But I say this all the time, the game is the game. And the job as the broadcaster is to paint that picture, tell the stories of the players. And so it didn't change from independent baseball to AAA ball in that fact.
Sean, I want to ask you about a few of the players that have been up and down with the Twins, and you see them up close when they're with the Saints as they watch them. Devin Smeltzer. He's had some good nights with the Twins and just hasn't been able to quite sustain it. Or, he's also a guy that they have options on, et cetera, and that comes into play. But what have you seen from him of late?
Yeah, I mean, the home run was what hurt him up in the big leagues. I think it was two of his last three outings. He gave up like six home runs. And the long ball has been a little bit of an issue in his first two outings back since he's been optioned. But look, his stuff plays, right? I mean, he's not going to blow it by you. He doesn't throw 95. Fastball is 89, 90, but he moves the ball around, curveball, slider, changeup. He knows how to spot his pitches. And look, if the Twins need him, he's going to be a viable guy for that, for that run over the final 2 months.
They made a lot of moves here at the deadline, and they got rid of Steer, who had just been called up, and had made a name with a couple of home runs. Well, he hit three home runs one game, something like that. He did some different things. Was he a high end prospect? Was he somebody that a team demanded, or what did you see from him?
Yeah, he was definitely top 12, top 15 prospect. Very solid defensively and could swing it. He added the pop over the last couple of years to his game, and that really turned things around for him. He hit, I think it was 12 home runs for us in the course of a month and a half or so. He's a good player, and trust me, I'm guaranteeing, I don't know this, I'm not, in on the ground floor, but conversations started with his name in terms of high-end prospects. He was probably top of the list, in that move. With the Reds, his name was probably at the top of the list.
Did you think Jose Miranda would be able to make the move? You see him early on. Did you think he'd be able to make the move and sustain it like he has?
Yeah, I mean, look, what that guy did last year was nothing short of incredible. I know that there were some questions about him defensively. I didn't see it. Again, I get AAA and Major League Baseball is just a touch different, but I didn't see what everybody kept talking about. I think it was, old scouting reports. I'm not saying he's a Gold Glove, corner infielder, but he's more than serviceable, and I think Twins fans are seeing that right now. That was what everybody's worries, but the hitting was never an issue. The great story about Jose, I love this, and I tweeted, we tweeted this out a week ago or so. Everyone forgets he got optioned down to us this year. He was in the lineup at CHS Field. and you know, and then Royce went down, and so he got yanked from the lineup.
Yeah.
2 hours before game time, so he was that close from playing for us, and never did. I mean, he started the year with us, but never did at that point. And since that point, I mean, it's almost like he's gotten a second life. And he is proving to everybody. And I think it took the weight of the world off of him when he got optioned down. I think he put too much pressure on himself. And he's gone up there, and he's proven to everybody what we all saw at AAA last year.
Well, yeah, and I mean, he's getting to the point right now where you want to see him come up in the big situation, yeah. You know? And he doesn't always pretty good, but, I mean, he's had a lot of good at-bats when it mattered a lot. And we had him on yesterday. He handles himself, as you know, very, very well as well. Alex Kirilloff has had a difficult year, and obviously it ended. Now he's going to have surgery. When I talked to him last week, I got to tell you, Sean, I think that as much as this is physical, there's that fear of if I swing and hit the ball hard, I don't know how much it's going to hurt my wrist. And I don't know how you get past that, because they tried to work him past that, you know, and they thought that they had that a couple times with his stints with the Saints. What did you see from him?
I saw a transformation of a hitter from when he was with us on Major League Rehab, because that's how he started with us. A guy that had nothing. He had no pop. He had no nothing. I mean, he was just rolling over on balls. He wasn't doing much of anything. Then he got optioned to us. And I'd probably tell you the first week or so, it was the same thing. There just wasn't anything there. And then for about a two-week stretch, he started hitting the ball hard. And I went to Toby Gardenhire, our manager, and I said, all right, I'm finally seeing what I'm expecting to see. And he said, no, there's another level for Alex. He said, you'll know it when you see it. And then there was like a 30-day period or whatever it was, three-week period, where, A, he couldn't miss a ball, and, B, he drove the ball everywhere. And I was like, that's it. And it was only a matter of time. Every day I came to the ballpark wondering if he was still going to be with us. It was only a matter of time before he got called up, because he had proven everything he needed to.
Yeah.
And then he got called up and you know, continued that. And, look, only he knows how he feels. I get, like, we all want to play medical professional and sit back and say, well, maybe it's a mental thing, or maybe only he knows. And he's going to have surgery. So obviously it's bad enough that he's going to have surgery. I think I read it that he talked to Brent Rooker, because Rooker had a similar type of surgery in his forearm, not in his wrist. And Rooker sort of calmed his fears and said, look, basically I don't have any issues now. Like I barely notice it. So I think that gave Alex the wherewithal to say, all right, well, if a friend of mine has gone through this, I'll do it, and hopefully this clears all these issues. Because you got to remember, he's still young, and he is going to be a force when he is healthy. He is a middle-of-the-lineup major league hitter from the left side of the plate.
Oh, he's got some of that Miranda in him where he can just square a ball up when he's on. His swing is so nice. We saw J.K. finally come up, and obviously we've seen him a lot over the last few years. It took a long time to get him up there. Why was that, do you think?
Actually, first of all, I'm glad you asked me about Jake Cave, because I am a Jake Cave apologist. I will say this right now. I didn't know much about Jake Cave up until this year. I worked during the baseball season. I don't have a chance to watch all these major league games.
Right, and he was mainly on the major league roster, yeah.
Yeah, and I've seen what everybody has said, though, since he's been with us. Like, I get it. Twitter's a cesspool, and, you know, people say whatever. But I've seen the remarks every time Jake Cave had a good game. Leave him down there. We don't want him up here, blah, blah. Jake Cave gives you every ounce of energy that he has every single night. I want 20 Jake Caves on my team. And I get it. People are going to say, oh, I get 240 or whatever. That guy hustles more than any athlete that I've ever seen in my 22 years of doing this. He will run through a wall for you. And you need guys like that on the team. Look, is he going to hit 330 this year? I don't know, but if you look at his career, maybe not. But he will play excellent defense. He's going to come up with some timely hits. He is going to give you every ounce. And what that does is everybody else on that roster sees that, and it makes everybody else want to raise the level of their game. I think Jake Cave is a huge asset to that ball club, and I think they're better off for having him.
Well, he turned on one the other night. Tells you how quick his hands are, and he hit it, you know, over the first baseman's head down the right field line. He hit a home run the night before, and hit that, and you go, okay, you know, he. And I've always kind of liked Jake Cave, because he can play any of the positions in the outfield. Obviously, you need somebody with Buxton's situation. You need somebody that can play center. You need more than one person that can play center field on a given series or week, and he can do that. But he also, you know, his dad was a coach. He understands the game well. He plays it well.
Maxie, I don't care what level it is, but this guy reached base safely in 49 consecutive games with us this year.
That's why I couldn't believe he wasn't up yet. You know, I kept waiting, you know.
He showed everything that he could. And he and I talked about it. I asked him just sort of like, hey, do you notice these things? What people are, he does. He sees all of it. And he goes out, he plays every single day like it's the last game he's ever going to play. And I have so much respect for a guy like that. I wish more players did that. Like, there are guys that have considerably more talent than Jake Cave, but give you 25% effort. This guy gives you 100% effort every single day, and it's a joy to watch him.
For sure. Royce Lewis, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, I think the greatest thing that happened to him was that 10-day window where he hit big league pitching, and so at least he knows what he's coming back to. But what has it been for you to observe him and what he's gone through the last couple seasons?
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to Toby, first 3 weeks of the season, and I said, what am I missing here with Royce Lewis? Like, everybody's talked about Royce as, like, this amazing player. And I said, I got spoiled last year by watching Jose Miranda. And I said, what am I missing here? Because I'm just not seeing what everyone's talking about. And he said to me, just watch. He's the most athletic guy on the field every single night. And when Toby put it to me that way, and I started really looking at Royce, he makes the game look so easy. That's the problem, is you're looking for, like, him to be spectacular, but he does everything so well, and he is the most athletic guy on the field. He makes everything look so easy. And when I looked at it through that prism, I was like, I get it now. Like, I understand. He's just so much more athletic. And look, he's a big leaguer. I hope that he's the nicest guy. Everybody says this. It was confirmed to me this year when I was around him. He never says no to anything. And everybody wants a piece of his time, but the kid's a big leaguer. You just hope that he stays healthy. And it was unfortunate what happened to him this year, right? Like, he's not an outfielder by trade.
How could that, you know, of all people, you know?
Yeah. And even said, right, like I'm looking forward to running through the wall. Like, he's the type of guy that's going to give you everything. And he's so athletic. And he went back and made an unbelievable catch, right? That's the athleticism. And
right, purely on athleticism, because he hadn't played center field. And then you go, okay, he's a little shaken up, big deal. And all of a sudden, it's a season ender, you know? Along those lines, though, I got to ask you, Nick Gordon has found his stride. Mm-hmm. And we forget sometimes, I think, Sean, that this is a constant learning process. And even when they get to the big leagues, they're still learning. And things need to, you know, for him, it was all of a sudden they needed an outfielder last year. And he found out he had to work at it, but he found out he could play there. And he became a very valuable commodity to the team because he could play the outfield as well as the infield. And now his game has evolved. You know, there were some times, and I know a lot of this has to do with the fact that, you know, his weight issue, where he couldn't gain weight there for a while with his condition. And he went from 155 now to 182. But there were times when he was playing with the Saints, we weren't sure we were going to see this guy for any length of time in the big leagues.
Yeah, it was funny. He was our first game of the year last year. He was on the bus with us to Omaha. We get to Omaha, and they fly him back. And you got to remember last year that the minor league season started a month later.
Yeah, that's right.
So
yep.
Major league teams were already playing, and the Twins had 100 injuries last year. And so he came back to us a little bit, and I didn't think he would be with us for very long. Again, he's the same type of guy. He's very athletic. He understands the game. Obviously, everybody knows about his dad. He's just a smart baseball player that understands the game, and he's going to be a very solid major leaguer for a while. You know, the problem is, I think, you know, as fans, we're spoiled because you see these young, you know, Juan Soto types that are 23 years old and have dominated the game in their, you know, early 20s. And everyone's like,
that you should do it by 23. You should be really good. Yeah. And it's not that way for most. Yeah.
No. And it's just, it's not fair for these guys. And it's like, you know, if you're 24, 25, you know, you still haven't hit the prime of your career yet. And I get it. Everybody wants it. The funniest part for me is, you know, when guys for us start doing well, and, you know, Twitter starts blowing up. Well, how come you're not calling him up? Let's call him up. He's hit two home runs in the last three games. Call him up. And I'm like, man, you've got to let the bread bake. You know, you have to let these guys go through, you know, the maturation process. And you can't call everybody up, right? I mean, there are rules for the, it's not yeah. in a vacuum. And so yeah. it's just funny. You know, one guy I want to touch on just before, yeah. Before we go, but Louis Varland was called up today. Louis Varland.
I didn't realize that. You know, his yeah. mom worked here for years at WCCO yeah. radio.
Yeah. So it was, we announced it, I don't know, about 4 hours ago. You know, local products, you know, St. Paul's own.
When's he going to throw?
Yeah, I don't know yet because the rotation I got last night obviously did not include him.
Yeah,
I'm going to guess that tomorrow when I show up to the ballpark, Toby's going to give me a different rotation with him in it. He last pitched on the 4th of August, so I'm going to guess he'll probably either throw in the afternoon game on Wednesday or on Thursday. But I'll find out from Toby, and you know, we'll put it out there so that folks know. But it's exciting for everybody. I mean, the kid's had a great year at Double A. You know, he understands how to pitch. He's a 15th round draft pick, and here he is.
Concordia University in St. Paul, yep. right next door, yep. buddy. The Shadows.
There you go. That's right. So
Lunch McKenzie. Yep.
Exactly. So it's a big move for him. I'm looking forward to watching him.
Yeah, have a great homestand. Yeah, his mom, I used to drive her nuts because I always would screw up when I put in for expenses and whatnot. So, but I think she forgave me, but I don't know. I
there you go. About,
but it's a great family, and his brother plays as well. So have yep. a great homestand this week out at CHS.
Thanks a lot, Maxie. I appreciate it.
You bet. Sean Aronson, St. Paul Saints, they got it going on as well.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And, of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.